Hello, everyone. What happened with the song? Was it good?
Yeah.
Great. So you're awake?
Absolutely.
Yes. So thank you for coming to the session. I hope you are interested in social media, and I guess most of you are already involved in something that has to do with social media, at least on a personal level. So let me just mention first that the session is sponsored by Eric Rosenberg's company, Swantigy, who is working with clients all over Europe. And before we actually go into the session, we're going to watch a short video. So let's go there. So, brief cut there. What do you think? This is an interactive session, so I saw a lot of eyes going up, so... Anybody?
It's scary.
Jurian says it's scary. In what sense?
Well, I don't understand it yet, and I don't master it yet, and anything can happen. And when you say that Twitter is like what someone said is the canary in the coal mine. I think that can be very true. Mm-hmm. There's several sessions about this, the social network media, mm-hmm. and how it can do a lot of good and damage, and I think that's scary.
It's scary, yes. Yes. Anybody else wants to share something new you learned?
Well, a little on how you differ between private things you have experienced on your job and share it with, for instance, well, Facebook and other, or more professional. How do you put the line between?
Further down the session.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge, yes. Anybody else want to share anything? You've seen some new stuff, I guess, from the video or whatever. Well, let's go ahead and see then. I'm sure that this is not going to be a session about how exactly you do it with the social media, in the sense that I'm going to teach you how to run Facebook or I'm going to teach you how to run Twitter. This is not a session about hands-on training. This is a session about how these tools can really help you, your company. There was a session this morning about a personal brand. That's about you, your company, and since we're in the meetings business, your events. So from that point of view, let's take it from here and see. So if we would put it in the context of the map of the world, actually there's so much social media that could cover the whole map of five continents. But where the world is, business needs to go. And if the world is in Facebook, you need to be there, and the same in LinkedIn, and the same in Twitter. We've seen some statistics already in the video, but I'm not going to read the slides. These are phenomenal numbers that are going on during each day that passes by. 2 billion emails per second. And most of it is done through mobile devices. Facebook, exponential growth in the last 2-3 years. And there's a reason behind that. People are hungry for information, and they want it now. So if you don't give the information yourself, there's a way that they can find it. There are many ways that they can find it. This is a summary of what are the key social platforms. When we're talking about platforms, we're talking about blogging, microblogging, widgets, social networking, the chat rooms, the message boards, podcasts, all of that. But if we want to see it in detail, we're actually talking about this. This has been documented by Brian Solis, which is an expert in social media recognized worldwide. And it actually documents the sectors of social media and where each one impacts a certain component of the world community. We used to have, and we still have, the traditional push marketing. We've seen that we can't just hang in there any longer. We're talking about TV, print advertising, radio advertising, the normal media that we do, the staples in the marketing mix. Well, evolve already. Customer engagement has evolved from Web 1.0, where we had a static website and we were feeding them information, and they were probably sending us an email asking a question or two about our products and services and whatever. And then we started communicating a bit more, having sort of dynamic sites and all that. And we're now at a stage where it's not about what we're saying to the customers, but it's about what they perceive us and communicate about us that makes the difference in the market. It's not about what we say we are, but what they say we are. And that is something that we can't control to an extent where we cannot write for every person in the world that actually sees our blogs or our Facebook accounts or our Twitter posts. What we can do is make sure that we excel at what we're doing, and we plan and react as quickly as possible to whatever might be considered as a damage to us. So we're now in the age where we're actually incorporating pull marketing in our marketing mix, which is called inbound marketing in the professional social media terms. Inbound marketing. That would mean that anything the people would consider as appropriate for our services or products, they will be the voice of our company and the voice for our services, the voice of what we are doing. If we're good, they're going to be evangelists. If we're bad, they are going to condemn us. It's very simple, like that. In this case, we see some people interacting using mobile devices, and we see a presentation of that's from a pharma expo, where a patient is actually sharing his experience about using a service that a pharmaceutical company was doing. And they're actually putting the person there to speak. They've also used it in an online platform way, not just live events. But what counts most, as I said before, is what they say about us, not what we feed them. So at this stage, it's more about brain than money. You've seen the video about the guy who actually used zero amount on Twitter to generate 1,800 customers. That's just a small example. There are many examples like that. It takes hard work. It takes a lot of planning. But it's doable as long as you know how to navigate and keep away from pitfalls. We'll have a look at the inbound marketing process, and then I want to know what do you think about it with the way that you're doing it within your company right now. That there are processes and tools on how to do inbound marketing. The basics are get found, convert into sales or into contracts, and measure. The basics are that. The way to do it is described in the process, and the tools to do it are many, 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 not just the ones that are written there. So right now, let's have a go at what is happening in your companies. How did you see Facebook evolving in your company? Anybody want to share? We'll start with this table. Everybody will have a say. Martin? Steve?
No, I'll just say that we haven't looked at Facebook yet. As far as publications are concerned, we publish, we have a website, we blog, we haven't used social media, we are looking very carefully at search engine optimization mm-hmm. for the website. That's why we're sitting here, Miranda, we're after inspiration.
Okay. Anybody else? He blinked, he doesn't want to speak. Okay. Who wants to go from here? You want to come? Your name?
My name is Suzanne. We're an audiovisual supplier based on the island of Malta.
Okay.
We've just started thinking about it, basically, and we're trying to assess how best to go about it, and that's why I'm sitting here.
Okay.
Basically.
Good. Do you want to go?
Vanessa.
Okay, Vanessa.
Well, we have a site on our page on Facebook, but we kind of let it go on its own, and it's true that we're not too sure how to monitor it, so mm-hmm. it will be really interesting. I'm talking from a corporate communication and market perspective,
mm-hmm.
so not really event side.
Okay.
And same for LinkedIn. We try to get people from our company to be part of the group, and mm-hmm. but it's true that we kind of let it live a little bit, and we don't really intervene.
Okay.
Also because I have this feeling that a social network should be managed by the social people in the network. So we're not too sure how much we have to, you know, do ourselves.
Yeah.
And voila.
We're going to see a few things here then. Let's go at the back. Who wants to share something? Come on.
I'm Ines from the Helsinki City Tourist and Convention Bureau. We've been on Facebook for about a year now. Our company has two profiles there. One is for the professionals within the tourism industry in Helsinki or globally. And then we have a fan page for tourists or whoever wants to be a fan of Helsinki. And the tourist information people keep it up to date. They inform about events taking place in Helsinki, and they do a sort of a micro blog on site, and we have very good experiences on that, and I would highly recommend that you go there as well and have your own profile for either company or personally, because it's a way of reaching quite a lot of people around the world. It's easy and it's cost effective.
Good. Okay. Couple more. Here you go. State your name.
My name is Ilka. I'm working at Symantec. It's an IT company. Mm-hmm. We are using all these social media opportunities. For example, we are managing a conference in October this year, and we found out that our delegates are using more bloggings than our landing page we have created for this conference to gather information about the event. So that shows us how important it is to use these tools, even if I personally hate them. So for me, it's way too much information, but our delegates love them, so you can't avoid using it anymore.
Yeah, that's correct. Great. And from here, who wants to have a go? Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Igor. I'm from the Serbia Convention Bureau. And from our side, we have like all these things, like Facebook and LinkedIn. When I speak about Facebook, basically the content of our Facebook page is more consistent to the web page, but is more brief and more shorter. So basically all destinations and all suppliers are also on our Facebook page. And we just started one month ago, I think. And for now, we have around 120 fans or members. And not just from Serbia, but a lot of meeting professionals as well. On the other side, LinkedIn is the Twitter is my personal favorite one, because if I have to say something, I have to say it like in 140 characteristics, which is like one text message. And if you know what to say, 140 characters are enough to say. And I think for now we have around 70 followers, which is a very good number for one small destination like ours. And most of them, maybe like 30%, are convention bureaus from the United States. And then I noticed that European convention bureaus or destination market organizations are not very actually used to this kind of promoting, while all others are meeting professionals, media, or things like that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks for the input. I guess you now know that social media is the online word of mouth, and it's much more than that. It can help with the SEO that you're doing, Steve. It allows permission to comment on your company, but then you have to be brave enough to allow that. So depends how it's done. You can build an audience and trust with your constituents, whether those are fans of your company, clients of your company, even suppliers. You can really show the company authenticity. Most of these accounts are managed by people, and the company is represented in the means of some people who are working in the companies. If you put out a profile which is a company and nobody knows what's behind it, it's very impersonal for this kind of media. You need to have people who are actually representing the company in a proper way, and we'll see further down the presentation how this is done. And of course, it can elevate or destroy your brand, depending on how you manage it. Where do you start? Know where your audience is and become a valuable contributor to the community. So, we're going to constrain first in the three basic tools. That's the reason we are constrained in these three basic tools. if you are thinking about starting, if you're thinking about time, effort, money, investment all together, choose at least one of these, and you will be covered to start with. If you feel it's too much to start with all three together, taking one of them one step at a time, but very well planned, is a good way to go. Ideally, if you have all three and manage to put them together, all three, it's a very good start. So, let's go through very quickly what each one of these is. LinkedIn, 41 million users. All Fortune 500 companies are on LinkedIn. And it represents 170 different countries. Consider this your formal application, like a business suit, okay? You can post your personal resume there. You can post recommendations and receive recommendations. You can build connections, show your expertise. You can do executive level search, link it to your company, and it has other advanced features like actually events, managing people from within the application, hiring people and all that. How do you measure ROI? Very quickly, but we'll see in the end a few things. Measure your time, measure your connections, measure your conversation, and cost to advertise on LinkedIn. Facebook, it's the largest one of all. Over 200 million users and over 100 million unique visitors. Consider this as business casual. This is the sort of stable thing because you can build very easily community on Facebook with a fan page or a group. The dilemma here is business versus personal. Who asked that question before? I don't remember while going around. Yes? The business or personal. The recommendation here is you don't want your personal profile going out with all the business people that you might not know but you might need for your company to come in and actually checking out what did you do during the weekend or how did your kids go to school or what fun you had at the vacation with your bikini. So from that point of view, it is advisable if you personally are handling the account of the company or if you are representing the company on Facebook or on LinkedIn, create a separate account for the company and don't mix it with your personal account. That might involve really personal information, especially on Facebook or Twitter, which are mostly, they have started as personal applications. It wasn't like LinkedIn, which is more professional. So it is advisable to have two different accounts there. It is addictive and very time-consuming to keep up. We'll see some strategies later. But you can build an audience very quickly with that. It's massive at the amounts of data and has lots of applications. And you can actually go as far as hiring people. There are many freelancers available that you can contract from Facebook directly to build applications that could be relevant for your company or to promote your company, specific applications for you or your event. How do you measure ROI? Keeping up and in front of clients all the time. You can update them. You can send them notifications. You can send them special offers. You can send them invitations, direct them into new products or services you have. You can build funds and buzz, measure work time versus pleasure time. You will have two accounts at least to manage in case that you're doing both of them. You need to see who are the social connections that are coming into your corporate account. And cost to advertise as well. Twitter. We all know it has the biggest uptake in North America, and one of the main reasons that this hasn't taken up so early in Europe, it's mostly due to culture. We don't need to say, I had a pizza now, and now I'm going to have some water, and then I have some Coke. But also because the cost of actually updating through a mobile device, especially if you're traveling throughout Europe, is much higher in Europe than if you are in continental US and you go from state to state where there are no roaming charges. So Twitter has 32 million users currently and growing. I mean, look at the number there with the growth. Yeah, that applies mostly to the US market, though. You can follow people you want to know. And consider this the most casual of all applications. You have 140 characters in order to convey a message. So you have to choose your words very carefully. And once it's out there, very difficult to get it back. You can have experts in your field, which you can follow. You all know by now, I guess, that the congresses of MPI have all different hashtags. There are other groups also in the meetings industry that have hashtags. By hashtags, I mean that they have created their own accounts on Twitter, and you can subscribe to that hashtag by going into your account, searching for that hashtag, and clicking follow. And that way you will know what is happening with those events or organizations or people that you're interested in. So you can follow experts in your field, potential customers, current customers, and create an audience with the postings that you will have, which again will have to be relevant. You have to get followers if you're going to be growing your social footprint in Twitter. And what matters most is to have more followers than the people you are actually following. And again here, measure your time, measure your connections, measure the conversations you are having and the quality of the conversations you are having, and measure the cost to advertise on Twitter. Because again, you can post pictures, you can push advertising through Twitter. So harnessing the power of people like we do in congresses, I actually see a correlation between social media and congresses. It's, with the social media, it's much more direct, but in essence, they're both doing the same thing. They're getting you in front of an audience. With the meetings, it takes time. With social media, it's much more instant. So let's go further to the roadmap of how we can set a social media strategy. First and most critical, like many business endeavors, find champions who can explain and mitigate risk. And by talking about champions, I'm talking about people in the management team that will support you and will understand why do you need to go there. You need to be able to make your case. Why does your company need to be on social media? And what would be the benefit of the company by engaging in social media? Then it is recommended that you organize media across departments, not just one outlet. Everybody in the company should have a part of it. But then again, deputize people throughout the organization. Not everybody can write anything at any given time about whatever they want. It has to be controlled in a way that people have the freedom to report things about the company that will elevate the company and will achieve the goals that the company wants to reach. But then again, they have to report somewhere. It's like what we do with any other marketing medium. Somebody is responsible in recommending the advertising mix that is going to be included in a media campaign, but only certain people are actually there to approve it. Spreading engagement to employees beyond the social media team and defining the role of each touch point. Who does what and why? And it is recommended that you actually set up a social media team. We'll see further down what the other big companies which are successful are doing. But having people who are already having other tasks to do in the organization and just burdening them with a social media task is just too heavy to carry. If you're just starting out, allocate half of an employee completely on social media if you don't want to allocate a person handling just that. It depends on the size of the company, on the messages you have to communicate out, the volume of information you want to put out, and then again, how important that is to you to be on that level of presence out in the open. But keep in mind, coordination has to be centralized. Yes, please interrupt. Patrick.
Just want to ask you,
question. That wasn't me that made that mess.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm from a company called Ovation, Global DMC, and we use Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. and LinkedIn. One of the challenges we found, though, is that we're trying to be, if everything is immediate, tweet we use for immediate, now, in my own mind, if I describe it. We have difficulty allocating. You said that everybody should be involved, or a certain group of people should be involved. And our difficulty is to get enough engagement from enough of the talent in the company, and at the same time, not have everybody putting the most. We left it open, and there were things that were tweeted which we weren't very happy with.
Yeah.
So how do you get that balance when you say you need a team? Because that can use up a lot of time, and we didn't control it at the beginning. We found it was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's very effective, we have difficulty in getting that balance of time and efficacy. So
okay.
I just want your advice.
Let me put it this way. Forget about social media. And we'll do another example to give you that. But if we are talking about the marketing department of Ovation and how Ovation represents itself to the world, does everybody in the company chip in and just do whatever they want and say whatever they want for marketing?
No.
It's the same. So it's the same. Look at it in that context. Not everybody is your marketing manager, and not everybody can actually take care of your marketing campaigns and the messages that have to be delivered and the segmentation of the customers and who do you target specifically for one thing and who do you target for another thing. It's the same with social media. It's just another marketing tool. So in that sense, if you look at it purely in the sense of this is another marketing tool, how can I make the best use of it? Because in most cases, it's completely free. The added cost that is attached to social media is development, consulting, best practices, using extra tools or developing extra applications just for you. So these are the costs of social media. The use of social media itself, it's free. So it's a matter of how do you perceive it, and the aim here is to really make you understand that this is a very valuable tool, and use it as if you were using any other marketing tool. Yeah? It's just a more direct and more immediate effect marketing tool than what we have known so far or traditionally. Anybody else has any question on that? No? Okay. Let me tell you then about centralized coordination. Best practice has shown that companies who are successful in actually implementing successful social media strategies have created departments or have allocated people that their pure work is to really monitor social media and develop or roll out and implement whatever the company has decided to do on social media. Therefore, when we're talking about deputizing people throughout the organization, we are talking about a company, take a traditional organization. Usual departments that you will have there is financials, human resources, IT, the management, sales, marketing, customer service. These are traditional departments in a company. All the departments of the company have to chip in some way. Yeah, they all contribute to having that company as a company out in the market anyway. So in essence, they are creators or representatives of that company. If you are going to be deputizing somebody from each department, that means you hold somebody liable for whatever is going out in order to avoid whatever else you don't want to have out. And of course, you have to create some policies with which a certain level of data is not allowed to go out. Otherwise, it has an implication on the employee. The other thing that you need to know is that back in October, there was a lot of fuss in corporate America because a study was released whereby 54% of IT people in companies, the IT departments, have reported that they actually shut down all channels allowing social media to be used on company PCs. in order to avoid just that. What they found is that the companies who were not allowing employees to express themselves found other ways to do it. They were using their mobile devices. So even if they were not using the company PC or their perceived time on the company PC, they were using their mobile devices to be on social media anyway, number one. Number two, they were there anyway. So let's say that 90% of employees in Ovation or in Symantec or in any of the other companies that we heard here have people who are already on social media. Okay, they're your base. Harness them. But harness them in a structured way. Yeah, don't just let them loose to do whatever they want. Yeah. What else? Make social media part of the job, just like email. So it's norm. In the old days, we had faxes, and slowly, slowly, we had the transition to email. Well, this is the next level. Yeah. So social media is coming up like that. Encourage employees to tap into social media to get work done, so they can look up their contacts, find people, find targets, but again, in a structured way, like you would use any other marketing tool to find customers, to segment the market, to find new opportunities to deliver services. And support engagement as an extension of corporate culture. If you don't support it as a manager, if it's not in the culture of the organization to share some information with the outside world, it's not going to fly. Very simple. But again, it has to align with the overall organization and marketing strategy. If you let it loose, you run into deep waters, red waters usually. And be committed. If you're not in it for the long run, there's no point in starting. Don't get there. It would be just a waste of time and effort and resources and people just getting engaged. Be in it for the long run and plan well. Okay. So, start by knowing where your audience is. Where your audience is, where are your customers? What are they reading? Where do they go on the web? What do they like to know about? It's not about you pushing services. It's about you pushing content to the target customers in the way they want to receive it. Pushing content for your company, but in the way they want to receive it. So open the platform to anyone and everyone. Pick channels carefully and build them properly. Engage in channels where people already are. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. There are many, many groups already out there. And understand how each channel provides a different dimension on engagement. It's a different thing to have a group on LinkedIn and try to do something in a sort of professional, formal way, and another way to present what happened to the company outing for corporate social responsibility, planting trees and make a big fuss out of it in Facebook. Yeah. So try and understand how your audience will find utility and value from what you're going to be saying. That's critical. A few other pointers. Be conversational from the start. Modularize and synchronize content across all channels. Emphasize quality and not quantity. For companies that have Twitter accounts, we don't need to know whatever is happening in the company if that doesn't really matter to people outside the company. At the end of the day, you're talking to the world. So if your coffee machine broke today or if your computers were down, we don't want to know it. But again, transparency is critical. If something goes wrong, you need to be out there and face it. Let me give an example for that. Recently, about 6 months ago, a video leaked on YouTube, which was about Subway in New York. Has anybody seen that? Yes? Yeah, you've seen it. Yeah. What happened with Subway in New York, you know? Some employees used a mobile phone to video rats in the kitchen. So that really created like 3 million hits in one day. And of course, people were flocking outside subway in Manhattan, trying to see how dirty that place was and why people were still eating there. And of course, the shop had to shut down. But Subway did a very funny thing. They didn't react. So what happened? It took them like a week to react to what happened in the Manhattan shop. And just from not reacting to whatever was put up in the media and the bad press that was received immediately, because anything that goes in the media is picked up with the press immediately, forced them to completely close down that shop in Manhattan, tried to relocate to another location. They fired the people that leaked the video, yes. But the harshest of all was that they had a serious damage on their reputation in the greater New York area. So can you imagine what happens when something leaks out from a destination? Let's say we had an example in Egypt where a bus full of tourists from an incentive just had a crash. What about, it didn't happen, but what about a passerby with a video taking video from the bus while people were trying to get out of the burning bus and most of them were injured or some of them were dead? And that would be posted on YouTube. What damage would that do to Egypt and tourism? Yeah? Or what would happen, and it did happen in many of the technology conferences, when a speaker is up, there's a live tweet feed, and people in the audience just criticize. The speaker sucks. What are you talking about? Do you know what you're talking about? And he's shut down, just like that. Yeah? It's all live, very live. So transparency is critical, and how you react to it makes all the difference. It might not be you, but you have to do something. You cannot just sit there and take it. So, research first. Who is likely to buy your services or participate at your congress, and where are you going to find them? On Twitter, on Facebook, on whatever. What websites are they visiting online? Should you be there? What tools does the target audience use regularly? Are they mostly on Twitter? Are they mostly on Facebook, LinkedIn? Do they blog? Do they participate in any other forms of tools? What kind of content does our target audience prefer to read? Do they just want short videos to get the message across, or do they just want us to communicate in a very short way with Twitter that we're doing that for the conference and we're doing that for the conference and they're getting an update every day? So, formulating your strategy, are you ready to handle any backlash? Have you considered that? By putting yourself out there, you're totally open to any criticism, whether good or bad. So you should be ready to take care of that. And it would be mostly based on your decisions on who does what in the company, who posts information up there, and how you're perceived as a company, not only from the postings, but whatever you're doing in your normal work. Are your employees ready? Because nobody has studied social media. We're all bringing this out from experience. So get your employees ready by giving them the tools they need and guiding them as to what they need to find out for this. But are you willing to take the risks? Because they have to be calculated. So planning shouldn't be a difficult thing to consider. Planning as usual. If you're planning for specific goals, plan in the same way. Determine what you need and what the end result should be. Put SMART goals. Determine your resource needs, the time, the people, and whatever. Secure top support and go. And then constantly measure, enhance, develop. Very simple. It's not rocket science. It's just plain business. But I wanted you to see this slide about the touch points where social media can make an influence at all levels of the company, because we talked about the different aspects of companies earlier. In marketing, it can help. Well, I don't have to read the slide. I mean, you can go through it. You will get a handout anyway with all the details. But I mean, it touches marketing, it touches customer service, sales, HR, PR, product development, the actual management, IT, because they have to be reliable on doing this. And the strategic framework, what are the costs and what are the implications of doing what and when? At the end of the day, we're all talking about one thing. Why are you using social media? Why? You want to convert them. You want to achieve your goals by converting them into customers, by doing sales, and by doing contracts. That's why you're there, elevating your brand. So the question is no longer whether we should participate in social media, but how to measure its value. And we don't have enough time. We only have 5 minutes, so I'll try and be very brief about that. If you have any questions, please feel free to just stop and ask. This is the ROI for offline actions. Ads, PR, earned media, word of mouth. The value and reach of each one of them. So if you see them very clearly, this is the ROI for online actions. The value of social media and the reach of social media. It's higher than anything else. Blogs, PR wires, online ads. But keep in mind that social media alone, the metrics for it, is meaningless. Why? Unless you can tie them to specific results. If you want to measure, yeah, be free, my guest, whatever. It doesn't mean anything until you actually do this homework first. What do you want? Increase reputation in the market? How do you do that with social media? Set the target, go back and work it. How do you incorporate the social media in your marketing mix so that you get more reputation in the market? Very simple. Did it support customers better? Where will you find the customers to ask them that? Yeah? Again, go back, incorporate it in what you're doing with your customer service. How did it increase sales? Well, you have to put some metrics at the time you're doing the sales in order to be able to measure that. So when you're doing the sales, incorporate a question like, where did you find us? If you know about our group or if you know about our presence in social media, or if it's a direct conversion from social media, you can easily include a link on the landing page so that you know where the sale came from if we're talking about a registration at a conference, for instance. Did it create awareness about our new offerings in the same way? So, let business goals lead and not tools. The goals that the company sets and the metrics are executed with the various tools. And that tool could be a blog, could be LinkedIn, could be Facebook, could be Twitter, could be absolutely anything that has to do with social media. Define metrics to support each goal. For instance, if we're talking about a goal for increasing brand awareness, the key metrics could be the share of voice that you have within the industry, extending the reach to more clients that you already have, and brand mentions, especially in Twitter. You want to measure the sentiment. You want to catch the pulse of what is going on in the market and where you are within your clients, within the market, and within the other constituents of your companies. Some top performers, we don't have enough time to go here, but let me just mention that Starbucks is ranked number one in social media from top 100. The scoring here represents a specific formula that it's a bit difficult to explain at this point, so let's just leave it. But they are using 11 channels to reach out to people that are interested in Starbucks. And they're employing a team of 6 full-time employees to do their social media. The same is with Dell. Dell had a really big breakthrough in 2009 with social media. They're ranking number 2. They have 11 channels, and they did not disclose how many full-time employees they have on social media. But let me tell you that last year, Dell, if I'm not mistaken, it was either 2 million or 2.5 million that they generated from sales just from Twitter. SAP is ranking number 9. It has 10 channels, utilizing 10 channels, and a team of 35 people. These people, especially SAP has a newsletter and a specific blog which is to which the people from the industry contribute and has a very big team and reaches out to other people apart from the company. Toyota is ranking number 21, 7 channels, 3 people. How do you do the monitoring? We don't have time to show you in a practical way. I wish we did. You can set up free tools with Google Alerts or with TweetBeep or Technorati. These are just some of the tools. There are many other tools there. And you can also go very professional and highly elevated with the paid tools like Trackur, Radian 6 is very well known. Social Radar is another one. So avoid keeping people shut up from the company. Give them the space to talk, but let them be evangelists instead of putting your brand down. You can read some horror stories, because in the way that social media exposes companies out and in the way people want an instant response for anything, I have included a list of some of the portals or pages where you can go and actually see information for different companies. Get Satisfaction is a subscription service where each company who has offline or online media can subscribe so that people who have an issue with them can interact with them through Get Satisfaction and rank that company. The Better Business Bureau complaints portal, I mean, it's self-explanatory. The Ripoff Report, you can imagine what goes on there. Yelp and Mention Circle, The Consumerist, so there are many others. With these ones, people have a voice and they can put you down if you don't allow them to comment on your own website. Wise words for newbies, know the demographic of the people you're targeting. Know that the community's likes and dislikes. Contribute on a consistent basis. And establish yourself as an active participant of the community. So, remember that in social media, the conversations will happen with or without you. It's a matter about what you do to control and limit the damage or elevate and build on that. Okay? That's it.